was listening and watching some television the other day and flipping through the channels, and I flip through a lot of the news channels, MSNBC, Fox News. I sort of just enjoy getting everybody's spin on things. But I picked up one conversation, and it was what caught me, and I don't remember the exact station or who the commentators were speaking, but the caption that caught my attention was "The War on Christmas." Have you heard this term going around? You know, there's this war on Christmas, and there's people from the faith background that say there's a war on Christmas, and then there's people who don't have a Christian worldview who say there's no war on Christmas. And there were these two people, they were debating whether there was a war on Christmas in our American culture. And one of the things that really hit me was when one of the commentators said, "Well, what difference does it make anyway if there's a war or nowhere? It's just a holiday. What difference does it make?" And I thought, wow, what a telling question. What difference does it make? What difference does Christmas make? What difference does the arrival of Jesus Christ to humanity, what difference does that make to you, and what difference does it make to me? And if it doesn't make a difference, how can we allow it to make more of a difference in our lives? The last several weeks, we've been talking about finding the light of Christmas and this imagery of light being used throughout the Christmas story. And we looked first at the shepherds, who they saw the light. It was an angel, and the light was the glory of God that shone all around them. And then we looked at the wise men last week. And the wise men, they were following a supernatural star in the sky, a light in the sky, that led them right to where Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And so we see the use of light. And then finally we come today where Jesus himself has come to be the light of the world. In your Bibles, if you have them, in John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus says, "I have come into this world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." What a powerful promise. I also like the words, and this is a misprint in your bulletin here. This is my fault, sorry. 2 Samuel 22, verse 29, which says, "You are a lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light." Well, what is the difference here between darkness and light? If Jesus came to bring light to expose the darkness, what is this darkness? And that's a good question to ask, because the darkness really is anything that's absent from God. In our culture, we live in an increasingly secular culture and society that there's less and less influence of God on different areas of our culture, and darkness exists. And the darkness is the lack of Jesus. And it's the areas in our lives where Jesus' light is not shining. And it may be times of sin where we take God's word, we understand what it says, we know what God's desire is for us, yet we decide to be disobedient. And while we may not, you know, be like, "Well, I'm just going to go out and sin," sometimes our sin is more of a progression of dimming and dimming. I love the song from Casting Crowns, "Slow Fade." You guys know what song that is? You know, it's a slow fade. And it's not that we go out and we're automatically in darkness, but we tend to compromise in one area of our life. And then in that one area of our life where we compromise, it leads to, "Well, okay, I'm going to compromise a little bit over here." Or then compromise over here. And then before you know it, you've made a series of choices that have allowed sin and darkness to enter into your life. Sin is missing the mark. It's an archery term in the Greek, where it's used that if there's a person shooting a bow and arrow, they would pull back and they would aim and they would let that arrow go. But somehow they miss the mark. And sometimes we miss the mark in life, and there's darkness. There's darkness of sin, but there's also darkness of circumstances in our lives. Some of those things that come along and they're just devastating to you personally or emotionally or physically or spiritually. And they may or may not be a cause of your own decision or your own fault, but you find yourselves in these dark moments. And if you've ever found yourself in sin, or if you've ever found yourself in a darkness of a circumstance that you just feel overwhelmed and you don't see the light of God anywhere, I want you to know something, that you are in good company. You're in good company. You know, one of the things I love about the scripture is that it gives us the full story. It's not just the good things that happen in people's lives, but it's the bad things. It's the difficult things. It's when they're struggling with the consequences of their sin, or that shows them in their pain because the circumstances of their life aren't exactly the way they thought they should be. Listen to these words of Job, found in Job chapter 30, verse 26. And if you know the story of Job, he lost everything. Everything, his family, his wealth was taken from him. And this is what he says, and maybe you can identify this with this. I hope for happiness and light, but trouble and darkness come instead. You ever feel that way? That you were hoping for one thing, but you're just disappointed because it just didn't come out like you thought it should. The fact of life is this. Life is sometimes disappointing. Things don't always work out as plans, and situations don't always work out as we think they ought to. It reminds me of a Christmas many, many, many years ago where I thought I for sure I was getting a basketball because my mom had wrapped all the gifts and put them under the tree. And she wrapped them in a way that you could sort of tell what they were, but she would throw in a box of some weird shape to throw it off. But I knew I was getting a basketball. And I was excited because I've been wanting a new basketball. Mine was all dirty and worn out. And anyway, so Christmas Day comes. And I'm so excited because I know this basketball is coming. So I run down to the tree and I tear open that box. And lo and behold, it was a globe. Oh, I was never so disappointed. But sometimes life is disappointing. And guess what? Sometimes you get a globe instead of a basketball in life. And, and this is what Job was talking about here on a serious level. You know, there are things much more difficult and disappointing than getting a globe instead of a basketball. You know, I can imagine Mary experienced disappointment that very first Christmas. You know, here she is. She was told she's going to be bringing the Son of God into the world, the Messiah. And you would think, wow, the Messiah, I'm going to have, you know, this royalty. There's going to be this wonderful place where I'm going to give birth. Yet she was in the most humble of settings for the arrival of our King. I can imagine she had some disappointment about that. And sometimes we go through the darkness of disappointments. Maybe you can identify also with the words of David, where he struggled with feeling alone and feeling just helpless. When he writes this in Psalm 22, verse 1, I cried desperately for help, but it still does not come. You ever feel that way? You just feel overwhelmed. You're stressed. You've got too much going on. And you think, there's nobody here who will help me or who can help me. You felt stretched to the limits. You know, one of the things that I realize when I counsel with people and in my own personal experience is when we're in the darkest of our dark times and the darkest of our disappointments and maybe even the sin that we're in, we feel like nobody's there and nobody understands. We feel all alone. And I think this is what David was feeling here. And maybe I'm guessing that you come here today and that some of you are feeling a little stressed out. You're feeling stressed out maybe financially, especially due to the holidays. There's just such the materialistic way that comes along when it comes to dealing with Christmas. I told the story a few weeks ago about the young girl who was asked the question, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? And the little girl says, no, but it's not my birthday anyways. What a great way to think about that. I was shopping with my children, and my one son, my youngest, 9 years old, I have no clue what to get him for Christmas. I mean, what, it's Sunday, right? Christmas is Wednesday? No clue. Okay, so I take him over to Target. We're walking through Target, and I said, Sam, just tell me what you want. I said, you want this? This is, and I start pointing to the things that I would have liked or like. Yeah, you know, look at this. This is a cool radio control airplane, man. What about this one? You know, all this other. He's like, no. I mean, we walked through the whole toy section of Target. And I said, well, Sam, what do you want? He says, I don't need anything. Let's just celebrate Christmas, you know, from a 9-year-old. I thought, wow. Oh, I was so proud. Brought a little tear in my eye. But then he said something else later that just blew the moment. That's okay. But maybe financially, you just feel stressed out and worn out. Maybe there's too much stress going on. Maybe physically, you just feel like you're worn out and you keep praying, but you just don't have any more energy. Maybe you're stressed out relationally. Maybe things are going difficult in your marriage, or your relationships aren't working out right, or you have a conflict with your boss or a coworker or your children. See, you know, maybe you feel like David. Or maybe you feel a little bit depressed, and you can identify with the words of Solomon. In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 19 through 20, listen to what Solomon says. He says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. What he's saying here is that he's looking at his situation in life, and things are so bad in his eyes that it makes him sick to his stomach. That he remembers them, and it's a bitter taste, and it's just, oh my goodness, and there's really nothing I can do, and I'm getting depressed. Maybe you feel depressed at this time of the year especially. Maybe you went through a year and you faced a difficult time in 2013. Maybe you went through a divorce, or you lost someone who you loved for and you cared for, you loved and you cared for deeply. Maybe you had a professional defeat, or maybe you got laid off, or maybe you're facing an illness, or things just aren't the way they used to be. And matter of fact, instead of the holidays bringing joy and bringing all of these things, you know what? They actually intensify the pain and the loneliness. And maybe you can identify here with Solomon, where he says, my soul is so downcast. Maybe you can identify with one or many of those emotions at Christmas. Folks, that is darkness. That's the darkness. And here's the thing. When I go back to that question that young man asked on the television, what difference does it make? If it was just for them and life without Christmas, this would be the end of the sermon. I would say, life's tough, go out and good luck. But it's not the end of the sermon, is it? We're just getting to the good stuff. Because of Christmas, it makes a difference in our lives. Because of the light of Christ, our lives are different. And that is something to be joyful about. That is something to rejoice about. And if you're struggling through one of these issues, or you're struggling with a sin in your life, or something that's got a hold of you, I want you this Christmas to let the light of Jesus shine in, show you the way. And so what I want us to do for the rest of our time is I want us to look at four ways that that the light of Christmas changes our life. That the reason that Jesus Christ came to this earth has given us hope. Because of these four things. And there's many more than these four things. These are just four I want to choose and talk about today. The first thing is, because of the light of Christmas, guess what? We have encouragement. We have encouragement. Psalm 34, verse 18, David says this. He says, a righteous person may have troubles. Anybody here ever do the right thing and still have difficulties? Yes. He's saying right here, the life of the righteous person may have troubles. But listen to this. But the Lord delivers them. The Lord delivers him from them all. That's a great promise. That if you're following God's word and you're counted among the righteous, not because of your own righteousness, but because of what Jesus has done in your life, you're going to have some troubles, but the Lord, he says, will deliver you from them all. And he's not left you out. You know, maybe 2013 was that disappointing year. The promotion you didn't get, or the thing that didn't go your way. Maybe you find yourselves in the throes of a sin that you look around and you say, how in the world did I get to this place in my life? Or maybe you're going through some circumstances and you look around and you say, God, where are you? Where are you? I've been there. I can remember many times down on my hands and knees saying, God, where are you? Well, let me tell you something. God is where he has always been, and that he has never left you. I love around Christmas, we really focus on God being Emmanuel, that he is with me, that he is with us, and he encourages me. And when I go through these things that are difficult in these dark moments, whether it's self-inflicted from my own stupidity and my own sin, or it's a circumstance that I had no control over, I know that I am never alone and that he is with me. One person said it like this, and I love this quote, the darkest part of the night is when the light shines the brightest. He is with me. Well, we are coming up, or we just had the 21st, correct? Today's the 22nd. We had the winter solstice yesterday, which is the shortest amount of daylight all year. Now, I was born a day after the summer solstice, but here we have the longest daylight, I mean, the longest night and darkness of the whole year. Isn't it great that we can celebrate the coming of a Savior who is the light? even in the darkest things, even when it doesn't seem it's going to end. He encourages me also by helping me realize that he has a plan for my life. Jeremiah 29:11, many of you know, and some of you have written down in your notebooks and maybe on your walls in your home, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope in a future." God says, "I don't want to hurt you. I want to help you. And I have created you, and I have a future, and I have a hope for you." But sometimes we're so much in the midst of difficulty that we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But let me tell you, the storms don't last. The storms don't last. Just like last night, it was a terrible storm. We had rain, we had floods, we had it all. I heard thunder and lightning, and there were tornado warnings in some parts of the state. I mean, here's the epic storm in the middle of the winter here, and it didn't last. I woke up this morning, and I drove here. The roads weren't flooded. Now, there's some consequences of that storm that'll last and that you're going to have to deal with. But guess what? The storm doesn't last. The difficulty that you go through, God promises to deliver you from. And so I want to encourage you with that today. I had a person who was talking to me, and they were devastated because, as a young person, they were devastated because some lies had been told about them at school. And if any of you, I know we have our teens are in here today, and if any of you have ever had a lie told about you, you know how devastating that could be, because lies travel fast, don't they? Especially with social media. And I remember just saying to this person, I said, "Hey, give it 2 weeks." They looked at me and said, "Well, 2 weeks, what do you mean?" I said, "It'll pass." I said this, lies travel fast, but listen, truth endures. Lies travel fast, but truth endures. And sure enough, a week and a half later, this person was back to their chipper self. And you know, here they thought it was, you know, they were never going to be able to return back to school because of what someone had said about them. And yet it passes. And God is with us, and he is there. And so I want you to know that his purpose for your life is far greater than any problem that you are facing right now or that you will face. And that encourages me. The second thing that we find in the light of Christmas gives us is strength. One of the most popular verses on finding strength is Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, which says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And, you know, I think about that, and there's times where we just don't feel sufficient to be able to handle what life throws our way. And the great thing is, there's a promise of God that says, "I will give you that strength. I will give you that sustaining grace through those difficulties of life." David writes in Psalm chapter 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of darkness, I will not be afraid, for you are with me." When I think back to that question that young man asked, is what difference does Christmas make? It makes all the difference. But you know what? For so many people I know, they're walking around in darkness, and their life is full of misery, and their life is full of pain, and they have no hope. But let me tell you something. Christmas is about that hope. Christmas is about that strength. Christmas is about that encouragement. You know, when we read through the Psalms, there are 150 Psalms in the book of Psalms. And the theme of Psalms could be summed up like this. Life is tough, but God is good. That's the theme of the book of Psalms. When you face some difficult times in life, when things aren't going like you thought they should or want them to, it's time to start reading the book of Psalms, and you will be encouraged. See, what happens is we start to look at things and we have it backwards. Instead of saying life is tough, but God is good, we often say, well, life is good, but God is tough, and we have it backwards then. We're a little off base, but God is good. He says, "I'm going to strengthen you." He's not only going to encourage us, he's going to give us that strength we need when we're distressed. We don't have to be afraid. A couple weeks ago when I was talking about the shepherds, they used in Luke chapter 2, the phrase, "do not fear" or "fear not." And I mentioned that word or that phrase is mentioned 365 times in the Bible. One for every day of the year. I think it's mentioned so much because you and I need that constant reminder, do not fear what you're going through. I am with you. Even though I walk through that valley, I am not afraid because God is with me. See, the light of Christmas brings strength. But the light of Christmas also brings something else. It brings direction. Again, we're going to read John chapter 8, verse 12, where Jesus says that he is the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Isn't that a great promise? That we don't have to walk in this darkness that we find ourselves in, but we will have light. One of the ways that we can find that is in God's Word and reading God's Word. It was interesting. I had a friend that I grew up with. We both grew up in Christian homes. And in her late teen years, she decided she didn't want to believe in God and started living a life just away out of the fellowship of God. And that was a conscious decision on her part. It wasn't an indifference. It was a, I don't believe this, and so I'm not going to follow that. Well, it was interesting that we're friends on Facebook. And a bit, you know, so many of you have Facebook. You've reconnected with friends from like 20, 30 years ago. And these are exciting things to do. And I remember one of her Facebook posts not too long ago was, boy, !! I wish there was an instruction book for life. To which I responded, there is. And we started in a message dialogue a little bit. And she says, you know, Chad, you know, you've sort of followed this ever since high school. We all went our separate ways, and I didn't follow it, and you have followed it. Is it really true? Does it really work? I said, absolutely. And I don't know that anything's going to come out of this conversation, but it's a chance to plant a seed that God will one day, Lord willing, bring a fruit out of. But yes, He gives us direction. And all we need to do is follow God's Word. The psalmist describes the Bible as a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But oh, is it controversial? Did anyone notice what happened this week with Duck Dynasty? Oh my goodness, you quote some scripture. I mean, all kinds of stuff was going on. And here's the issue. And the issue, you know, it's not about political things. It's about people trying to coexist in our culture playing by two playbooks. And the one playbook is what the Christian goes by, which is God's Word, which is truth, which hasn't changed and is not going to change. And the other playbook is we don't have a playbook. And you go by whatever you want and whatever feels good and whatever you think or believe or whatever popular culture thinks or believe. And it's constantly changing. And the more that our world moves away into that secular direction, the more we can expect this type of response to what the Word has to say. And all I can say is that I do know that the teachings of Jesus are true. And at Christmas, we celebrate that. Because we have something to show us the way. I would be lost if it weren't for God's Word. I truly would. I would just be making terrible decisions. I would probably be in a lot worse situation than I am now. And so He gives us direction. Well, the fourth thing that the light of Christmas gives us is change. And the ability to change. Because one of the things in life is that sin becomes habitual in our life. Matter of fact, sin becomes so habitual in our life at times that we don't even recognize that it's sin any longer. And we build up this sort of resistance to it. We're inoculated to it. That it doesn't seem to cause us alarm or anything. And we just say, well, that's just how I am. That's just how the world. I'm just going to accept for me. I am who I am. And I truly believe that we accept who we are created in Christ, but we should never do that at the expense of accepting a sin in our life. And one of the things that the light of the world came to do was to expose the sin and the darkness in our life. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul writes this, he says, everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And that's this, that when we have the light of Christ through His Word, that everything that is contrary to sin, every time we miss the mark, those things can become visible and brought out. Because face it, when we have sin in our life, where do we put it? Out there where everyone can see it? No. We hide it, don't we? We hide it to where nobody can see it, to where maybe we can even ignore it for a while. And then when you get that, you just keep living in it and living in it and living in it. And it says, but when you have the truth of Christ, when you have the light of Christ, that is exposed. And then here's what happens, and here's the good thing, because it's the start of a process that when we have sin in our lives, we have to first acknowledge it and bring it out to light and say, okay, here it is. This is who I am. It's ugly and I don't like it, but it's a part of who I am. And then listen to this. And it says, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. so that sin then can be transformed, that part of our life can be transformed into a godly part of our life. I think of the Apostle Paul with his, he was such a zealot in his persecution of Christians, yet once that was exposed and it was let out, God transformed that to be one of the greatest champions for Christianity in the world of all history. And I think that's a great thing that we need to understand. I was talking with another person recently who basically has lived their whole life lying and running and cheating and has developed a huge drug and alcohol addiction. It started when this person was 14 years old, and it has continued on through their adult life, and finally they're at the point where they're like, I can't do it anymore. And so I've had some very serious conversations with this person, and finally I believe that they're at the point in their life where they realize, I just can't live like this anymore. I can't handle the stress of lying all the time to cover up and to get and to be so selfish. I can't live like this anymore. And they begin to confess and they begin to open up. And for the first time ever in this person's life, they came to grips with who they really were. And it was ugly and they didn't like it. And I was talking to this person, and for hours and hours on the phone these last 2 weeks, this person just kept telling me all the things. I was like, oh, okay, I just don't know if I want to hear much more. But it was so therapeutic for this person to confess their sins. Why? Because finally it was exposed. Finally it was exposed. And he looked at me, or you know, we were talking on the phone. He said to me, Chad, I feel like a huge burden has been lifted from my life. Now let me tell you, he's got a long road of recovery ahead of him. He didn't get in it overnight. He's not going to get it overnight. But I think for the first time, he's at the point in his life where he lets the light of Christ come in. And it shines what's there. But here's the great promise. It's not just about exposing that, but it's about everything that illuminated can become light. God will redeem those experiences. God will redeem the pain. God will redeem the selfishness and the addiction in his life as long as he is willing. It's going to be hard, and he's going to have to hold on to Philippians 4:13 with all of his heart over these next months and years. But that's where it starts. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8 says this, "The truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing, and the true light is already shining." Folks, you may come here this morning, and I don't know what's on your heart. I don't know what's in your life. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what your darkness is. But here's the promise. The darkness is passing because of Jesus Christ. Because of Christmas. He is the light of the world. And the light is already shining in your life. You know, when we come to these times, it's so easy to minimalize Christmas. Matter of fact, I really struggled with sort of joking with some of the other staff. How do I do Christmas again? You know, here we go, Christmas series. Let's do these sermons. How do I do it again? And I thought, wow, I've really missed it. Because it's really about the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. If you're in darkness today, you don't need to be. You need to open up your heart to Christ. And that is my prayer for all of us, no matter where we are, that we would just allow him to work this Christmas. And let that be the greatest Christmas gift that we receive. Would you pray with me?